It is on.
Try something new and it's just a little bit of growing pain. So I invite everyone to stand. Worship team is on their way. Apparently, communication, strong suit as always. Let's pray and we'll dive into worship. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, that we're here. God, I thank you that you are good in the midst of when everything seems to be going wrong and everything seems to be falling apart. God, you are still good, and you can do great and marvelous things, and you pull it all together. And so, God, I just pray in this place as we worship, we just get lost in your presence. And God, may your peace just rest in this place. May we just find our, may we find belonging in you. May we find love and forgiveness and everything that we need in you and in you alone. Be with us this morning, God, as we dive into worship. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I stalled as long as I could. Okay.
Sorry, guys. I totally forgot. Okay. Let's get started here.
Thank you.
me this morning felt a little rushed, but the God is still a God of joy, and so let's worship as we sing House of the Lord. Shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. Shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today, and we won't be quiet. Shout out your praise. So good. Throne of endless glory.
God, you, Jesus, you came. You came, Jesus. Sorry. Jesus, we thank you that you came. We thank you, God, that you were humbled. That, God, you came. And we just thank you, Jesus, for taking away our sin. God, we don't deserve it, but, God, you're good. Just thank you so much, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
We're going to move into the prayer portion of our service. If you haven't been with us for a while or you're new, at this point, we gather up into family units, and I'm going to put some prayer points up on the screen. You got the clicker, so I need to... go find friends to pray with. That is your instructions right at the moment. Find a family unit that you want to go pray with, and then I'll give you further instructions. Everyone online, I realize that you just have your family unit, but that's okay. You can pray for the requests as they pop up. Here are the items we are praying for this morning. Shareword Global, formerly Gadians Canada International. So they are a Bible translation mission that we support. Why did it change? That's one of ours, isn't it? Jared Riddle? Yep. Town Councilor Jared Riddle. I get confused. I have to do it for both towns. Local church, so Church of Christ in Kenosi, you can pray for them. Our church leadership today is Kevin Reimer. You can pray for Kevin and his family as they serve in leadership. And any requests in your group, you can pray for. So take a few minutes and go pray through those, and we'll move into the next portion of our service. Father God, we just pray for all those that are in leadership, whether it's church leadership, town leadership. God, we pray for our governments. We pray for our nations, God, that you would lead, that our leaders would be overwhelmed by your wisdom, overwhelmed by your vision and your clarity. God, that they would lead well in a way that honors you. Father, may we never stop praying for our leaders. May we never stop praying for those that make decisions that impact us. And God, I just pray for a special blessing on those that lead in so many different ways. I pray for our missionaries, that you would just continue to give them favor in their mission field as they reach out and make an impact on people all over the world. Jesus, we love you. Give you all our praise and thanks in your precious name. Amen. All right, you can have a seat. I still have this. Perfect. Okay. Oh. There we go. Okay, a couple quick announcements. We're still looking for a few emails. So volunteers, members, if I don't have your email, you're missing out on some vital information. So I'm just going to start tracking you down. So either you come to me or I come to you. That's how this works. But if you want to make sure that you're staying up to date with everything, whether it's scheduling like we talked about last Sunday or the newsletter or anything else, make sure we have your email and we'll make sure we get that to you when it goes out. Baptisms, we're still looking for a warmer, less snow-covered option for baptism. So if you're still interested, let us know. We got a few people that have said they would be baptized. We can still have room for more. We'll have a baptism class, and then we'll let you know when the big day is. So look forward to that. Fall Festival is next Sunday already. Let that sink in. October is gone, believe it or not. So we need some treats dropped off. We're going to do some games here in the church. And as always, we need some people to stick around, interact with the community, welcome here. We've invited a lot of people. There's a lot of interest. So we're hoping to have a good turnout next Sunday for our fall festival. If you are new to One Church and still haven't gotten your welcome package, you can scan that QR code. And once you do that, we'll get an email that says that you filled that out, and we won't let you leave without your welcome gift. But I think we're all safe this morning. I think everyone's been here at least once. So I'll just keep moving. Everyone online, though, you can take a second. You can scan that, and we'll get it to you. Trust us, because part of it is I need your mailing address. So that's how we're going to get it to you. So scan the QR code, and we'll make sure we get that welcome gift to you, whichever way we need to get it to you. And I don't have a slide for it, but just a note, it is the season to start talking about Dickens. Well, Sean is excited. That's good. So if we're not going to start doing sign-ups or anything, but if you want to help with the float, or you want to help with the rice pudding, or you want to help in any other capacity, we've got lots of volunteer opportunities to get involved with Dickens this year. Of course, we're already thinking Mexico 2024, so the rice pudding will go to raising funds for that. But so if you're interested in that missions trip, consider signing up to help out with Dickens. Yeah, Dickens is coming. We have a special surprise for the Dickens community this year. I won't say anything more. Some of you already know about it and very excited about it. Anyways, we got big plans. It's going to be good. So, without any further ado, we're going to move into the message, and I am not preaching this morning. I am handing the reins to Mr. Mitchell, Pastor Mitchell. So come on up, sir. I'm going to pray for you. You got a whoop, so you can't whoop yourself. That's not how that works. Yeah, you did. That's what I'm saying. You got a whoop. I never get a whoop. Okay. Father God, we're so excited about everything that Mitchell does for the church and the way that he serves and he leads and he does it all so well. And so, God, we just pray for your anointing on him this morning as he opens your word to us. Prepare our hearts, God. May we have ears to hear, hearts to receive all that you want to speak to us. God, may he be your mouthpiece. May he be an instrument for spreading your truth and challenging us to become the men and women you've called us to be. And just give him all the grace and anointing that he needs to say all he needs to say this morning. I pray this in your mighty name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. There we go. Do you get a good morning, too?
No.
Or are we rubbing in each other's face?
No.
Okay. I'm going to tally every time I get a response just for you, by the way.
Perfect.
Okay. So before I get too far into what I want to talk to you about today, I actually just want to take a second and just acknowledge something that we all experienced this morning. It is a miracle that we are actually able to sit here and enjoy the service as it is. We have had a heck of a morning. Basically what happened is I got in here around 8 or so, started kind of prepping for just all of what we're going to do today. I come in, fire up the system, realize the speakers aren't on. I'm like, oh, Matt must have changed something on me, because he does that sometimes. Actually, a breaker had blown, like completely blown. There was no power in this area of the room. And we're all scrambling around 9 o'clock going like, what the heck are we going to do today? And so I just want to acknowledge all of the work that went into actually making this happen by Pastor Matt, by Tim, by the guys in the sound booth, and anybody else that I'm missing. Oh my gosh, this was an incredible thing. You can see the extension cords. Like, we really pivoted. Like, this is a miracle, right? So let's just praise God that he's given us the people that he's given us to help out. And I appreciate everybody who helped out with that, because I honestly just sat here and looked at my notes, so I didn't do anything. So, anyways, that's all I have to say. Let's get into it. I have a quick story for all of you guys real quick, because I'm actually just realizing the last time that I was up here on stage, I was playing guitar, but last time I was preaching here, it was like right before I got married. And I'm still a newlywed, so I'm kind of obsessed with talking about it. So I just want to tell you a quick story about me and my wife real quick. So for those of you who don't know how Morgan and I met, we met at my best friend's wedding down in Kansas. I was a groomsman in his wedding party. Her sister was a bridesmaid, and we just, she looked at me in the wedding party. I was like, who's that fine man in the custom suit? And I was like, I don't know this person. No, I'm just kidding. I was kind of obsessed with her. So the part that she loves to tell, actually, I was sitting at the head table, and then she was kind of off with her family. And while the speeches were going on, I was like a creep in the flower vase, like, oh, who's that? Like, it was crazy. I was a crazy person, but it worked out great, because now we're sitting here a couple months married and a kid on the way. So praise God. Yes, there we go. And I got a clap, Matt. Let's go. But at the beginning, when we first started dating, we had decided right from the get-go, because it was going to be a long-distance relationship, exactly 1,000 miles, actually. Long distance was incredibly hard to navigate. It was something that, I've never been in a long-distance relationship before. I've never seen it work out very well. But right when we started dating, we kind of made the agreement that we were going to take it as seriously as we physically possibly could right from the get-go, so that we didn't waste each other's time, so that we could kind of figure out if this was something that the Lord had given us for the long term, and just let's just take this seriously, because why are we wasting our time just FaceTiming all the time, right? So for the first month, we basically operated under the question of, I'm going to marry this person, what is that going to look like, and am I going to be satisfied with it? Right, and so in that month, it was an incredible time of really being vulnerable with each other, with us intentionally getting to know each other. There was a lot of like nervous excitement to it. She hadn't figured out how annoying I was yet, and I hadn't figured out fully how awesome she was yet. It was an incredible time, and so it really took us a month, and then we were like, all right, nope, this is something that the Lord's given us for the long term. I want to be her husband. She wanted to be my wife. And then we just kind of worked towards that end, basically when we met in September. And then, I proposed by March, because that's how long it took me to get a ring saved up for. And then we got married in June. And it was incredible. And of course, we have a baby on the way. I'm kind of obsessed with that. That's kind of a crazy thing that's happening in my life. And so I'm going to talk about it all the time. But I think what is happening in my wife's body at the moment, she's growing a little human, and it's just an incredible thing, right? And for those of you who have been in on the process, it's been a heck of a season for us. But the Lord is just doing such beautiful things in our family, bringing us together, and just kind of, I've never felt closer to my wife, right? There's a certain level of emotional and mental intimacy that we just hadn't had before. And as I thought about what I wanted for our church, not only in the next season here, but one I wanted to start today, and Matt and I have had this sort of ongoing conversation. We've been kind of dreaming about what do we want One Church to look like in a year? What do we want to see in your lives? What do we want to see in your lives individually as people who join us here at One Church? And I mean, obviously, my wife is on my mind all the time. But I think that there's a level of intimacy that we get with our spouses that are that is a equal, if not greater, intimacy than the intimacy that Jesus wants with us, right? And it's this, anyways, I'm going to get in my head myself if I keep talking here. So let's get back to my notes. So what I want us to accomplish in us today, by the will and the power of the Holy Spirit, is that I want to awaken this kind of passionate desire in you to seek this kind of intimacy with Jesus, just the same as you would your spouse. And, okay, I mean, I don't know the state of all of your marriages. It looks like all of you are pretty good in this room anyways. But there's this beautiful relationship that we can have with Jesus Christ. And Blair's moving away. That's great. Blair, I just keep coming back to you and just calling you out, man. I love it. I love it. You made me lose my place. How dare you? There's this beautiful relationship that can be had with Jesus Christ purely by the power of the Holy Spirit, uniting us with him. And it's this incredibly beautiful thing. And what this relationship looks like is that we're disgusted with sin. Our hearts and minds have been transformed to look like Jesus. And there's just sort of deep satisfaction with the life that God has given us, and we can't quite explain it. There's just no way that we can explain this joy that we have, but it's there, and it's purely by God that we have this. And so what I want to do, I want to take us through the Bible a little bit and just look at a couple of places, and I'm praying and hoping that the Holy Spirit is going to stir a sort of affection in us this morning. So with that said, let's pray. Father, I just thank you for our church. I thank you for the opportunity that we get to gather together and worship you and get into your word. God, I pray that you are stirring an affection in us this morning for you, that as we look in the Bible, as we talk about the good and beautiful things that you have in store for us, Lord, would you just begin to ignite a desire for us to be with you today? It's for your beautiful name I pray. Amen. Okay, so did you guys know that the Bible is full of works of praise and instructions on how to worship God? I mean, well, it's the Bible, so of course that makes sense, right? But here's a few that I want to point out here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul gives us a lengthy explanation of how to corporately worship in a proper way. So when we're here today, God not wanted us not to make a mess of it. If you know anything about the church in Corinth, they were a big mess. Paul wrote to them twice in the Bible, but a lot of historians actually think Paul wrote to them at least like seven times. So there's just something in the church of Corinth. They couldn't get it. But either way, he felt it very important for him to give the church of Corinth instructions on how to worship together that still kind of are things that we can learn from today. All throughout the Old Testament, you have instances where the people of Israel heavily valued stopping immediately what they were doing, whether it was in times of war, where they were traveling. They would just stop and praise God. It was a weird thing to everybody else, right? Because who's in the middle? I mean, I don't have any military experience, but I would imagine if I was on a battlefield preparing for war, I would not stop right there and think to praise God. I mean, I hope I would, because that's an incredibly good and beautiful thing to do. But I'm going to be honest, that's probably not my first thought. So it's just incredible that they did that. And you don't have to look too much further than the Psalms to see what this looked like. And so I just want to, the one that I consistently go back to, I actually have it written on my pedal board somewhere, but I want to take a look at Psalm chapter 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. You want to know the context when David wrote this? Would you like to know the context as to when this was written? Because it's a beautiful psalm, right? David wrote this immediately after he pretended to be a crazy person to scare off the Abimelech. Like, he was acting like a fool, and then he was just like, all right, I'm going to write down, sit down and praise God real quick. Okay, that's cool. Love it. And if you know anything about David, that's just the kind of relationship they had with the Lord. Side note, this actually has nothing to do with what I want to talk about. I love David because when you look through the Psalms, you'll get one moment where David is like, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, you know, and he says these beautiful things. And then you flip the page and David's like, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's like, get a grip, David. What is wrong with you? Like you flip the dime like every 2 seconds. But then I remember that I'm the exact same way. And sometimes I have that same flip in the same day or the same hour. And so I think if it was okay for David, it's okay for us. So that has nothing to do with the broader point I'm trying to make here, but I just want to encourage all of you who are kind of feeling a little bit unstable, who feel like they're kind of flipping their relationship with the Lord. It's all right. That's how it goes. And God's still with us, and he still loves us, and it's beautiful. Anyways, lastly, this is the coolest thing that I have ever seen in the Bible. In the book of Revelation, right at the end, it talks about sort of God's master plan for the earth and humanity. At the end of Revelation, you find John, the Apostle John is writing this. It's a description of what the new heaven and the new earth will look like. Did you know that it says that that God is going to replace the sun? Like, that big fiery thing in the sky that's keeping us warm, it's going to keep us decently warm this winter, I hear, but without that thing, we're freezing to death, right? So that thing up there that's sustaining us, God's just going to replace it. Like, he's like, you don't need it. That's it. And let me show you. It says it right here. And the city has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of the Lord has illuminated it, and its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. That's exciting. That is an incredible thing. We're going to dwell so closely with God that we're not going to need the sun, that he's going to be our pure sustenance. That's it. We're not going to need anything else. He's going to renew the earth so well that we're going to be so close with him. We don't need that thing that's keeping us alive. It's an incredible thing. And as I say all this, I want us to take note of something in our hearts here. As I read these things in our Bibles, and as I communicate these exciting and beautiful truths to you today, my heart fills with joy and excitement, and I'm so hopeful for all the good and beautiful things that the Lord not only is doing in our day, but is going to do in the future. Because there's a plan there, right? You read it clearly in the Bible there. It excites me. It fills me with, I can't stop smiling. I've heard some jokes from some people in our church. I just have this continual smile on my face. It's because of this. And if you're sitting here today, or if you're sitting here online, and you're not getting excited about all these good and beautiful things, not to kind of drop this on you, but I have to ask, Christian, who does your heart belong to? Do you truly feel like you're a son or daughter of the Most High? Do you gather with us on a Sunday because you enjoy making much of Jesus together with us, or are you here for some ideological reason, or are you here for because your parents have dragged you here to church for your whole life, and well, that's all I know? Or is there a genuine love and passionate desire to be with Jesus Christ? See, I worry about this thing that I've heard called spiritual complacency, and the best way that I can describe what spiritual complacency looks like, I heard this story about 2 years ago. There was this conference taking place in Texas, and in one of the breakout sessions, they had a video called in a local pastor from China. They had to blur out his face and mask his voice, because if there was any inkling of identifying this guy, he was going to get arrested in China. There's an incredible persecution happening there, but the church has just exploded there. It's an incredible thing. And he was asked in this breakout session what his thoughts were on the church in the West. And what he had to say in response to that was just, like, really haunting to me. What he said was that it's almost like our churches in North America are in this demonic sleep state, not caring for sharing the gospel to the unsaved community around them, not fostering spiritual depth and richness in our churches, and focusing more on the show and the display in church and less on the transformation of the heart in the lives of our congregants. Oh my gosh. Like, that's a haunting thing to hear about us, right? But, I mean, where's the lie? I mean, I think we do decently here at our church, and we're doing our best, but, I mean, I know I can think of a couple churches off the top of my head that fit that description. And I read this, I was reading this book recently by Zach Neese. It's called How to Worship a King, and I was kind of wrestling with this concept of, like, okay, well, what does it look like to be intimate with Jesus? What does it look like to not foster these things that one local pastor has to say? And now, that local pastor, his opinion isn't the be-all, end-all, but, like, dang, that's a hard, that is a hard criticism to hear, and we got to flush that out and see what that looks like. And anyways, Zach Neese was, in his book, was going through this explanation of his, how he came to faith and when he first started attending church. And he kind of describes this sort of deep dissatisfaction that he had. I just want to read this quote to you here, right out of the gate here. I didn't know what I was sensing was the result of God's call for my life. God was calling me, as he is calling you, to be more than a recipient of ministry. He has called us to be ministers of his grace. And any church experience that does not place a demand on that calling will either cripple us with boredom and complacency or frustrate us by underutilizing it. This is why many people have fallen asleep in regards to their callings. They have become spectators, watching other people live God's dreams for them. My brothers and sisters, I worry about two things for us. I worry for those of us who have fallen asleep for lack of stepping into the calling that God has placed on our lives, and I worry that we as a church are not demanding that calling well enough, or we haven't made space well enough for your calling to actually exist and flourish. And I mean, as a pastor here at the church, like, I think we've made great steps in making space for that. If some of you feel differently, I'd love to have a conversation with you of how we can make more space for these things. But regardless, I think what I'm sensing here is that the Lord is waiting for us to lean into him in some deep and intimate way that changes our hearts and minds, that has us flourishing in joy as a church, and makes the community outside these walls jealous of the things that take place here either on a Sunday morning or midweek. And just because the Lord is doing such good and beautiful things in Carlisle and Redverse for that matter. Let me show you this in our text today. There's a passage in John I'd like us to look together that kind of solidifies this deeper intimacy that I see. Morgan and I have been doing a little walkthrough of John in our own devotions. It's been incredible. I just want to read this, and I pray that we're loving Jesus properly as we think about these things. So it's John chapter 2. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come." Okay, pause there real quick. I just want to speak to the youth in the room real quick. I'm realizing there aren't that many youth in the room, but online. My young boys and girls, if you ever speak to your mother like this, oh my gosh, it worked well for Jesus because he was the Son of God and he was perfect. My brother spoke to my mom like that once, and there were three of us, and now there's two. No, I'm just kidding. I never had a third brother. But still, I talked to her like that one time, and it didn't go well. It didn't go well. So if you value your life, honor your parents, is what I'm trying to say. Verse 5, his mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were 6 stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." So they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it to him. When the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, and did not know where it came from, but the servants knew, the head waiter called to the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then he serves the poorer wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. After this, he went down to Capernaum, and his mother and his brothers and his disciples with them, and they stayed there a few days. And this is a pretty simple story, but it's an incredible thing that God is highlighting to us here in this point. And I just want to get your attention on two different things here. I want us to pay attention. I want us to pay attention to Jesus saying, "My hour has not yet come." Now, for some of you who know the Gospels, you might be inclined to think that this is talking about the cross. This is talking about his death. But I actually think when you consider the bent of the Gospels, there's actually a clearer sense that Jesus is referring to his own wedding day with us. And what I see in the Bible, it calls the church, that's us, you, me, us, we're one big happy church family, he calls us the bride of Christ. Boys, I know it might feel weird to be called the bride of Christ, but girls had to put up with being called sons of God in the Old Testament, so I think we can put up with bride of Christ. Does that sound fair? That sounds fair. Great. Anyways, what we're seeing in Jesus here is an underlying longing for his own wedding day with us, that is, that he would be united with us, that we would be together as one. And this is not just some eternal reality that waits for us at the end of time or at the end of our lives, but this is a spiritual reality that is taking place right now, that we are united with Jesus in part by the Holy Spirit today. It's an incredibly beautiful thing. See, your wedding day with Jesus happened the day that you said you would follow Jesus, and we need not to enjoy him when we die, for he still lives in us here and now today. Second, I want us to pay attention to the head waiter's comment about the wine. Every man serves the good wine first, and when the guests are drunk, then he serves the poorer wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. It's an echo of this spiritual reality. Just as I was talking about my marriage with Morgan earlier, there's this sort of beautiful image in marriage that God created that reflects our relationship with him, in so much as husbands are, just as it says in Ephesians, husbands are to serve self-sacrificially, that husbands are supposed to love and to the point of laying down our lives for our wives. And the wives act in loving submission to the husband, that the husband would flourish in how he cares for the family. And there isn't some sort of weird sense of hierarchy or inferiority happening here. What you're seeing is this good order that God has created for our good pleasure and God's great glory. Because you go outside of that, and I haven't seen it work very well. Have you? The same. What I'm describing to you today is a kind of intimacy that is one that we find in our spouses, one that is incredibly satisfying to the heart, that's fulfilling to the soul, and beautiful in every way, and that we would find that in Jesus Christ, the one who died for us, the one who saved us, the one who changed us for the sake of his glory, that we would enjoy him forever. It's the kind of intimacy that is fostered by spending great lengths of time with him, by intentionally seeking to know Jesus more and more intellectually, theologically, by enjoying him in fellowship with other people in our church here. It's a possible thing that can happen here now. We just need to put the work into it. But you may be asking, so what does this look like for me? Well, this is going to look incredibly different for all of us individually, because we have our own individual relationships with God, but I think the fruits of it are very similar across the board for all of us. What you're going to see is people who not only enjoy fellowship with other Christians, but like just have this continual smile on their face, I guess, that just love Jesus so immensely, and you know, you can tell it because, well, I mean, I think that there's some cynical people in churches for sure, but I genuinely haven't seen a cynical person who loves Jesus deeply. This happens, what this looks like is our worship to the Lord changes. I want to kind of use my wife as an example again, because I'm kind of obsessed with her. She's pretty great. So there's a kind of difference between her and I and how we engage with the Lord. See, Morgan loves to sing. She is incredibly gifted and talented. She loves to worship, and that's just a good way that she engages with God, and she's quite good at it. in my biased opinion. I, on the other hand, though I am slightly musically talented, I actually really engage with the Lord on an intellectual level. See, I love reading the Bible. I love reading theology books. I love reading and learning all these things. But there's this sort of balance that has to be had, because if I just did all this reading and knowing things about God but didn't spend any time with Him in a deep and emotional way, I can know all these things about God, but I would be an incredibly cynical know-it-all jerk. And then on that same token, if we just spent our time singing the whole time about to this God but didn't actually know anything about Him, there's a good chance that we're singing to a God that doesn't actually exist, or a God that that isn't similar to us. And, you know, you guys might have your own ways of spending time with the Lord, and it's going to look different for everyone, right? There's things that I think are good and beautiful things to do in spending time with God that they just don't work very well for me, right? That's just my temperament. God created us uniquely and different in that way. But I think once we actually figure out how it is that we foster intimacy with Jesus, we're actually going to see a lot more flourishing in our churches. We're going to see a lot more impact in our communities there. And then on top of that, I would love for us to enjoy being together serving our church and community. And it sounds like I'm going into a shameless plug for serving our church. I kind of am, but that's not a bad thing, because when you're intimate with Jesus, when you know the Lord and love the Lord deeply, you want everybody else to know about it, and you want to serve others. And it's a sort of outward expression for our love for God in other people. So I just kind of want to just highlight some of the areas in our church that we've kind of made spaces for you to flourish in your calling here. Number one, Matt's been talking about this for a while. We want to get a prayer team going. It sounds exactly how it is. We want you to serve our church in the capacity of just praying, just being available to pray. That's it. That's simply it. Worship, you'll notice that there's a couple instruments on stage that often go unplayed. This is kind of intentional, because this is how we're making space. We want to take our worship together seriously. So if you're sitting here in this room or joining us online and want to start coming here on Sunday mornings, we want to make some space for creativity. We want to make some space for serving in a musical capacity. Third, kids. I don't know as much about this because, well, I'm not the children's pastor, but it sounds like Michelle and Emily and there's a couple other people in our church that are really getting some good kids programs going. There's lots of space there. There's lots of kids. They need a lot of help. And so if you, want to work with kids in some way, talk to Michelle. That's a great space. And finally, youth. We've fostered an incredible youth group over the last year. I feel incredibly blessed to be leading that, but we do need some help. We need some extra hands to help out, and I've had some great leaders who have stepped up and helped me out here and there, but I'm noticing this need for consistent voices and consistent, not only help for my own energy sake, but our students are longing for that connection. I'm going to close with this, and I'm recognizing the time, so I think we're just going to... Is our worship team still in here? Okay, I'm going to call the worship team up real quick here then, so we can end in singing together, just as we talked about. See, there's this invitation that I'm communicating and extending out to you, and it goes to... I think there's a couple different camps that I'm extending this invitation to. See, if you're sitting here and you haven't actually kind of stepped into a space or made your heart available for an intimate relationship with the Lord, whether you've grown up in church, whether you've been with us for a while, or whether you're hearing this for the first time, there is an invitation being extended out towards you. Jesus loves you. He longs to be with you. He wants an incredibly intimate relationship with Him. And it's just as easy as getting serious about praying and getting serious about getting into the Word, and there's this incredible transformation that takes place where God just changes our hearts in this whole thing. It's incredibly simple, but it doesn't make sense. It's this beautiful, beautiful thing. There's an invitation to those of you who have fallen into this spiritual complacency. Maybe, yes, you've grown up in church again, but you haven't really known where to serve, where to step into. God's knocking at the door, but you don't know how to open that door. There's an invitation being extended to you. He's still knocking. He still loves you. He still sees you. He wants that relationship with you. And if there's a way that we as pastors here, if we as a church can support you in waking back up, then I want to figure out what that looks like. There's this sort of deep satisfaction that comes with being intimate with Jesus, because he not only changes your heart, he changes your mind, he fixes all of your intention, and everything basically gets cast at the foot of the cross, and all you're left with is the goodness and the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. And we get to enjoy these things not only here today, but we get to enjoy these things forever. And what I want for our church is that we get excited about that. And what I want for you individually is that there's this deep joy that replaces all of your anxieties, that replaces all of your worries and your troubles, and your mind and heart is just filled, not with anguish of this world, but hope and joy that Jesus is coming back for us. I'm going to invite you to stand as we prepare to close in worship, and let me just pray for us. Lord, I pray that you would bless us. God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the community that's being built here. I thank you for the opportunities that we get to serve you, that we get to love you through our community. God, I pray that as we go about the rest of our days, that as we prepare to end our service here in singing, God, would you just stir our affection for you? Would you fill our hearts and minds with joy for you? And God, would you help us to express ourselves in such a way that our love for you is evident to the people who do not come here regularly, who do not enjoy you regularly. Would we have the kind of love and affection for you that makes other people jealous of how joyful we are? And God, this is going to be a slow process, you know, but thank you for being patient with us. Thank you for walking through it with us. And Lord, would you just bless us as we do our best to love you. Through your beautiful name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Bless you guys as you have a good week. We do need help with the chairs because we do have a bouncer party this afternoon, and Playland is starting this week as well. So, yeah. So if you guys could stay and help, that would be very, very helpful.